sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's me, Mr. FSP, along with JT, ATM Money, doing our show live and direct, coming to you in your eardrums, because we like to have fun and get dumb. Yeah, I said that stupidness. I admit it. It was dumb. I admitted it. Thank you, Jerry.
You are quite welcome. Always willing to accommodate you, Mr. FSP.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a special occasion right now because we're doing a show and we're going to have a little fun with it. Get loose with it. Let Bruce hit it. What? What?
You feeling a rhyming mood today, aren't you?
Get loose with it. Yeah, I am actually. I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the AFC West, the best of the West, and then there's the rest.
Yep.
There's going to be some commentary and some information for you guys that you might not necessarily like. Yeah. Yeah.
Good and bad.
Uh-huh. You may or may not like the analysis we're going to give you, but I'll put it to you this way. For 5 years, 6 years now, we have been giving you information.
6 long years.
And I would say we're about 90% correct on all of that information. About 90%. Check the track record. We are not new to this, and we're good at what we do. So without further ado, I got something to tell everybody.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud.
Make him proud.
Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Cause you know your boys are gonna put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank? Or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. Along with JT. I know you do. That's why I play that. That's why
I play it a lot, man. I played it a lot, especially during football season. And before I jump on the Master Plan, which is at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday, especially on football season, when it's fantasy time, man, I play that, get me pumped up before I start my show. I love it.
Well, I do too. But another thing to get you pumped up before your show on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, especially during the football season, or maybe even now, is if somebody were to go to spotonradios.com and clicked on a DraftKings banner and did a one-day team for baseball, tennis,
soccer,
even MMA.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I got to say this, man. I got to say it. You know what I love to say. At DraftKings, you can win a ship load of money.
Long as you don't curse. All right.
I said ship. Ship.
I know.
Ship.
I know. But We're going to jump right into this, guys. We really are, because we don't have a lot of time to waste. We want to have some fun with it. Like I said, let Bruce hit it. I really think in order to get this party started, to do it right, shut up. We need to talk about the San Diego Chargers.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Oh, yes.
You can't handle the truth. And Jerry did something that I really, really love, and it makes me feel good. I'm about to show you. Because when we're talking about the Chargers, this is truly a Game of Thrones. Here we go.
My man.
Head coach Mike McCoy brings on second year offensive coordinator Frank Wright as offensive coordinator. And the Chargers are a bit of a chameleon as a team, that they will go run heavy when needed, shifting their identity from week to week. They will often lean heavily on a power blocking scheme installed by veteran line coach Joe Adelizandris. They have the big bodies up front and potentially the power back to replace Ryan Matthews and first round pick Melvin Gordon. The rookie should step in as the bell cow from day one, with smallish Brandon Oliver as his direct backup. Assuming he's healthy, Danny Woodhead figures to play a lot of passing downs as a receiving threat out of the backfield. Speaking of the passing game, the Chargers utilize the no huddle to give Rivers a chance to diagnose defenses before the snap, something he excels at. Rivers makes most of his reads pre-snap in an offense predicated on getting the ball out quickly. Keenan Allen is the clear-cut number one, though Rivers is more than willing to go away from him when defenses roll coverage his way. They should go three wide receivers often, with Malcolm Floyd stretching the field and Stevie Johnson creating mismatches underneath. He and Allen are outstanding route runners who can both play the slot. Antonio Gates is still a prominent weapon, though he has hinted at a reduced role with Ladarius Green rotating in more often. The backs are sent out into patterns often, and Woodhead will work downfield when isolated on a linebacker. Now in the red zone, oh my goodness, the Chargers get pass happy in the red zone, with Gates figuring to still do major damage regardless of his role between the 20s. Allen and Johnson will have complementary roles in Rivers' take what they give you approach. They rarely sub personnel during drives and will sometimes stay with a package that has a small back like Woodhead on the backfield inside the five. However, when they can, it will be Gordon on the field in the red zone. Now, even though Phillip Rivers has, you know, said he's going to fail his contract, he's not happy because of the possible move and all that, that's the Game of Thrones part. The Chargers did not draft a quarterback. They didn't. They have some free agents come in, as some people like to say, camp arms. But they only had five picks, and not one of them was a quarterback. Only one player was an offensive player. Melvin Gordon. That speaks volumes. So their starting lineup looks like this, ladies and gentlemen. Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Stevie Johnson, Antonio Gates, and Nick Novak as the kicker. But something to note here, Jacoby Jones and Austin Pettis are also in that receiving core. What does that mean? Jacoby Jones is going to be doing a lot of kickoff return, a lot of punt return, and Austin Pettis is a threat given the right situation. And I think this will be a good situation for him because he'll end up being the slot receiver when and if Stevie Johnson decides, well, you know what? I'm going to get hurt this week. With that said, JT,
yes,
the floor is yours.
Well, this is going to be an interesting season for the Chargers. So you noted that Philip Rivers is still shaky about whether he's going to sign a contract with the Chargers. Chargers quite naturally want their quarterback to re-sign with him. So just for what you said, it's a Game of Thrones type of thing. It's up in the air, and you never know what's going to happen. But Philip Rivers is a game and a gamer and a pro. So he's got a plethora of weapons, wide receivers, a supposedly top running back in Melvin Gordon, who's one of the best running backs in all college football, and equates to or he's been categorized as a Jamal Charles type of running back. That's yet to be seen because he hasn't played really a down in the NFL, but he's got the tools to do that. And quite naturally, I think they won't be Mike McCoy. And when Ken Whisenhunt, and even when Ken Whisenhunt left, they're trying to run the football more and not put Phillip Rivers in harm's way. When they ran the football effectively, even though running backs in and out of there, Brandon, I forget his guy's name. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name.
Who are you talking about? Oliver?
Brandon Oliver, thank you. And they were using Brandon Oliver and Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews, quite naturally, got a little banged up. But they were running the ball effectively, okay? And when they ran the ball, quite naturally, play action in Philip Rivers' type of game was more effective. Keenan Allen, he was a very good wide receiver two seasons ago. Last season, through health and inconsistent route running problems, he was not as good as people had speculated. He would take that second year leap. It was a sophomore slump. So I'm thinking he's going to, once got healthy, he's going to rebound. Once he was healthy, he played well. So I think the San Diego Chargers are going to be contenders, not pretenders, and it'll be interesting to see where they fall. I think they make the playoffs, but see where they fall in the playoff picture at the end of the season. That's all I got for now.
Well, since we're going to talk about where they fall in their record, let's go over their schedule.
Okay.
First week at home, they take on Detroit.
Home
a win or win. Loss. Okay.
Home opener win.
They go to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's pretty tough at home. I'd say they lose.
At Minnesota.
They win that.
Home for Cleveland.
Come on, it's Cleveland. Win.
Home on a Monday night for Pittsburgh.
Better offense. Probably defense better. Pittsburgh wins that game. San Diego loses.
Okay. At Green Bay.
Back-to-back top five offenses. They lose at Green Bay.
Wow, okay. Home for Oakland.
They win that.
At Baltimore.
They lose that. West Coast, East Coast.
Okay. Then they have a Monday night home with Chicago.
Chicago. Bad defense in Chicago. They win that at home.
Bye week, which comes at a good time because it's towards the end of the season. But then they end with some pretty tough teams. They come back at home with Kansas City.
They beat Kansas City.
At Jacksonville.
They beat Jacksonville.
Denver.
They at home, they win against Denver. At home.
Okay, at Kansas City.
Winter game in Kansas City. Burr, that's all I can say. West Coast team going to Kansas City. December, they lose.
But didn't they beat them last year? I think they beat them last year at home in the wintertime. I think they did.
Well, I don't think it happened back to back years. So
okay. Home for Miami.
They win that.
And the last two games on the road, Thursday night at Oakland, and
tough game.
Go ahead.
And the Denver game, Oakland. It's going to be very tough. They're division rival. They do not like each other at all. Chance they may be co-joined in the stadium. This is a hated rivalry back to the AFL days. But they win this one against Oakland, and then they wind up going to Denver, which is another cold stadium. Last game of the season, a lot of things could be on the line. They lose it in Denver. And I have them at 10-6.
And you pick?
I have them at 10-6. You there? Hello, Victor. I can't hear you now. What happened? I cannot hear you, Victor. Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor. I'll call back in.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as The Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on The Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show, as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's The Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, The Master Plan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am truly sorry that we had a technical difficulty there.
Right.
I don't know what's going on today, but hey, one hiccup doesn't stop this rodeo. So we're back. We're going to go to another team. I want to say this team needs to sit by or sit under a tree and sip a little lemonade. And that means I'm going to play lemonade. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Head coach Andy Reid in his third season with his third year offensive coordinator, Doug Peterson. They are a run-heavy team. Let me just say that right off the bat. They're built around the ground game, as basically everything they do works off of Jamal Charles. It's a hybrid blocking scheme that uses Charles in a variety of ways, both outside the tackles and inside, where his combination of agility and surprising power makes him effective. We'll continue to take a look at he'll continue to take a huge workload with Niles Davis sprinkled in for a handful of series every game. All-purpose weapon Anthony Thomas will occasionally line up in the backfield, but he rarely sees traditional carries as a back. And here's the deal. I think D'Anthony Thomas is going to be a breakout candidate this year. Mark it down, write it down, do whatever it is you think you need to do. I think this guy is going to be a breakout player this year. But let's talk about that pass game. It's using smoke in their eyes, which relies on a lot of play action and misdirection of Alex Smith, often moving around. They're at their best utilizing the screen game, especially when they can get Charles out of space. Travis Kelce figures to see more playing despite his struggles as a blocker. He's used on a series of routes from deep up the seam to tight end screens. Now, their big acquisition, Jeremy Maclin, and mark my words, if Evan Mathis doesn't sign with an NFC East team, he might be headed out to Papa Andy Reid in Kansas City. I'm going to start it out there. They need a guard. He's an all-pro. We'll see what happens and where it goes. But Mathis steps in as their number one receiver, and he'll be asked to do a lot of catching and run work. Albert Wilson provides a deep threat who can also move inside to the slot. Jason Avant is a glue guy in third wide receiver sets, while burner Chris Conley is a project. He's the rookie. In the red zone, the Chiefs stay run heavy, primarily with Charles. They did start mixing in Davis last year as a way to keep Charles from taking unnecessary hits. Macklin figures to have a bigger role in the red zone than Dwayne Bowe did. Anybody could, didn't score in the past couple of years. And he shouldn't have trouble breaking the Chiefs' wide receiver deep drop. But it's going to be mostly Charles and Cleese when they throw the red zone. Now, starting lineup, Alex Smith, Jamal Charles, Jeremy Macklin, Travis Cleese. I'm sorry, I forgot the other wide receivers. They really don't have any. And their kicker, Terrio Santos. JT, talk to me.
Well, hopefully the Kansas City fans like mediocrity, because I think that's what they're in store for. Alex Smith hasn't thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver since October of 2013. Jeremy Macklin, I can guarantee he just took the money and to be reunited with Andy Reid, because Alex Smith don't throw deep. And whatever Jeremy Macklin, I think he scored 10 touchdowns last year with the Eagles. If he gets half that, expect that. And expect the Kansas City Chiefs to probably take a step back from where they're at. Do what the fans expect them to do. I think they'll be the third wheel in that. I think they'll be the third corner in the four corner square of the AFC West, behind the San Diego Chargers, and we haven't talked about him yet. But the Denver Broncos. That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's get to this record. Let's see what you see or what you say.
Yep.
They open up at home with your Houston Texans.
No, they open on the road.
Open up at your Houston Texans. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Loss.
Home Thursday night for Denver.
Loss.
At Green Bay Monday night.
Loss.
At Cincinnati.
Tough. This is going to be tough. They could easily be 0-4 after they leave Cincinnati, but I'll give them a win.
If they're 0-4, I think Andy Reid is fired. But I'm just going to say that. Home for Chicago.
Win.
At Minnesota.
Going to feel a little bit better. Win.
Home for Pittsburgh.
Back to reality. Loss.
They go to London, and they're the home team versus Detroit.
Prolific offense. They better come to play, but I'll give them a win.
Okay, week 9 they have a bye, but then they come back off the bye and go to Denver.
They go to Denver. Really?
Yes.
They lose.
Okay. At San Diego.
They lose.
Home for Buffalo.
They win.
At Oakland.
A win.
San Diego.
This time they win. They're home.
At Baltimore.
That's a loss.
Home for Cleveland.
That's a win.
And then home to end the season with Oakland.
That's a win, which brings them to 9-7.
That's about right. I can see that. I can definitely see that happening. It's unfair, but they have a very tough schedule. And yep. to play the NFC North this year, I mean, they're not the positive they were last year, but they're not that bad of a conference this year either. So we'll see what happens with them. Now, let's get to another team that might have a few disappointments for you. And they might hear Mike Singletary say this.
I want winners.
And that's what Gary Kubiak is saying as we touch upon the Denver Broncos. No music for this one. Gary Kubiak, first year head coach of the Denver Broncos, brings in Rick Dennison, first year as the offensive coordinator. They both are blasts from the past, meaning Mike Shanahan. We're under Mike Shanahan. They're entirely versed in zone blocking schemes, something the Broncos dabbed in the past two seasons, but unleashed in full force this year. It's shaping up to be another committee approach as far as the running backs go, with C.J. Anderson entering the season as the leader. Monty Ball was a disappointment after being handed the lead job last year. Ryan Hillman continues to be explosive at times, but he also is widely inconsistent in the facets of the game. And he likes to fumble. He really does. I think the zone blocking scheme is going to help C.J. Anderson be a very valuable player as others in this offense will decline. But let's talk about the passing game, because that's where I see a decline. Kubiak will have to give into Peyton Manning a bit. Kubiak's passing game incorporates play action and moving the pocket, but Manning lacks the mobility. A lot of the principles will be the same, though. The Broncos will use a lot of underneath catch and run stuff to compensate for Manning's dwindling arm. They'll use a lot of crosses and natural rubs. Demaryius Thomas is the number one target, getting plenty of throws behind the line of scrimmage. Emmanuel Sanders will play in two receiver sets and kick inside in third wide receiver sets when Cody Latimer gets on the field to play the outside. You know, said Cody Latimer, not Caldwell, but Cody Latimer. They'll go two tight ends often. Owen Daniels should see a lot of big plays in his role as a wide receiver. Now that he's in Denver. And in the red zone in particular, yes, the Broncos get a lot of red zone possessions, and they typically let Manning finish off the drives. They'll throw the tons anytime he's in a one-on-one situation. And Sanders emerged as a slippery red zone option in the second half of the season. Daniels, however, should have a significant role in the red zone as well. You know, he's taking the Demaryius Thomas position, and he should see a lot of touches and a lot of touchdowns. Anderson, of course, will be the first crack with inside the 5-yard line, and Ball might be mixed in a little bit. But JT, I got to ask the question.
Yes, sir. Ask it.
With Thomas gone and Daniels in, where do you rank Daniels in the class of the tight ends this year?
Top five. Top five. For the combination of, and I'll tell you why, the combination of Peyton Manning, who likes to throw to his tight end. Look at Dallas Clark. Look at Julius Thomas, the two teams that he played for, Indianapolis and Denver, respectively. And those guys had prolific seasons whenever Peyton Manning was behind the center. So the next tight end being Owen Daniels, who has followed Gary Kubiak when he first coached in Houston and then went to Baltimore. Now he's both that duo is in Denver. Gary Kubiak incorporates the tight end into his offense, and Peyton Manning likes throwing to the tight end. Yes, he's a top end, top long short story short, he is a top five tight end that may not get drafted as a top five tight end, only to the astute and knowledgeable fantasy football players will he get drafted where he should. But this could be a steal in the tight end position with Owen Daniels.
So with saying that, where do you think he should get drafted?
Well, let me see now. The average draft position for Owen Daniels?
No. Tell me where you think he should be drafted.
Where I think he should be drafted?
Yeah.
God. Top five. I'm thinking sixth or seventh round, somewhere around there, believe it or not.
So who are the four ahead of him?
Who are the four tight ends ahead of him? All right. Mm-hmm. It's Rob Gronkowski for one.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham for another.
Okay.
Julius Thomas.
Ooh.
For the skill, because of skill set, and he's got a young quarterback, and a young quarterback bailout is his tight end, and he's got a big contract. They're going to play that tight end. They're going to feature that tight end in that.
Okay.
So they have a lot of young wide receivers on the outside, and they got a big target in the middle. And it's going to be conservative offense because it's a defensive-minded coach. They're going to try to run the football, and I think they're going to use two tight end sets a lot and be conservative, and that means throwing to the tight end a lot, which is a safe pass for a young quarterback. So that's three. Owen Daniels is top five, so he's in there, and I'm trying to think of who would be another one, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Vernon Davis, how about, oh boy. Oh my gosh. Can't remember his name right now. Oh my goodness. Clay used to be with Miami. Now is, I forgot where he went. Charles Clay. What about him?
No, what not about, Charles. No, no way. I'm trying to think of who would be the other tight end would be, and
no VD.
VD is going to make a resurgence. It's going to be surprise a lot of people, but I don't think he's going to do it being a top five. I think it's going to be a let me do this tight ends here. Who I'm trying? Oh, I know who I'm thinking of, and it's a Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, that's the other top tight end. That's the top five tight ends. Gronkowski,
okay.
Olsen, this is not necessarily in this order, but Gronkowski, I'm sorry, Olsen, Graham, Owen Daniels, and who's the other one I said about? Julius Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah, I think Thomas is, I think he's going to be featured too. I mean, you got Zach Ertz, you got Jordan Cameron, you got Travis Kelce. You got those guys too, but I don't know. It's up in the air how much they're going to use Ertz. Jordan Cameron, it's up in the air how much he's going to be used. He's got the two pretty good wide receivers on the outside. So I'm thinking that in an offense that features a tight end, and I'm thinking that Jimmy Graham, because they paid a big price to get him, it's going to feature him absolutely. Greg Olsen is Cam Newton's favorite target, one of his favorite targets. Ron Gronkowski is a prolific tight end. And Owen Daniels plays in a offense that the tight end plays a significant role. So, yes, I do believe he is a top five tight end. Now, a lot of people are going to say, no, I'm giving you my opinion, and I think he's going to pan out as a top five tight end.
Well, I'm not debating it, brother. I'm not debating it. I think he is as well, especially with Peyton Manning, even though I don't think Peyton's going to be throwing as much this year as he did in the past couple of years.
Well, you have to understand, Gary Kubiak is a conservative coach, basically. He runs the football a lot, just like Mike Shanahan, runs the football a lot, throws to the tight end, and takes their shots when they need it, when they want to, down the field. But for the most part, they run the football and play close to the vest with safe passes to the tight end.
Okay. Well, let's go over this record. Well, we can also go over their lineup. You got Peyton Manning, of course, C.J. Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Cody Latimer, Andre Caldwell, Owen Daniels, Virgil Green, who might emerge as a decent tight end, and James Casey, who also was a Houston Texan at one point, and Connor Barth at the kicker position. They drafted a bunch of players. They had enough to go in every round. Shane Ray comes in, defensive end. The writing's on the wall for DeMarcus, not DeMarco Murray, but DeMarcus Ware. And Von Miller's still there, so I think Shane Ray's going to be working with him, trying to learn the ropes. But the most interesting pick that they had, and it turned out to be needed, is their second-round pick, tackle out of Colorado State, Ty Tamberillo, who's going to have to step in because that left tackle of Peyton Manning just can't seem to stay healthy. And he's gone for the season again. Talking about Clady. So this rookie's going to step in and be the blindside protector. They might switch it around. I think they should anyway. For Peyton Manning. Interesting. Interesting. We'll talk about that as we get into our fantasy studs and duds in August. But let's go over the schedule. Week one, home for Baltimore, JT.
Win.
At Kansas City on the Thursday night.
Win.
At Detroit.
Second leg game on the road, loss.
Disagree. Home for Minnesota and AP.
Win.
At Oakland?
Win.
At Cleveland?
It's Cleveland. Win.
Stop talking about Cleveland like that. They have a bye week, week seven. Then they come back home for Green Bay. Very good game.
Loss.
Okay. They go to Indianapolis.
Loss.
Home for Kansas City.
Win.
At Chicago.
Win.
Home for New England. I disagree.
Okay.
At San Diego.
Lose.
Disagree again. Home for Oakland.
Win. Win.
At Pittsburgh.
This is going to be a tough game. Real tough game at Pittsburgh. I'm going to give them a win. That could easily be a loss.
Yeah, now that one I can agree with you on. It could easily be a loss, especially if they're fighting for a playoff position and Bell is you know, getting primed and ready for the playoffs, that could be a big, big game.
Yep.
Home Monday night for Cincinnati.
Win.
Then they finish up the season home with San Diego.
Win.
And you give them a?
11-5.
Okay, I go 12-4. I go 12-4. All right, ladies and gentlemen, three down, one to go, and you know what? One person said, just win, baby, win. But another person said, this is what this other team thinks.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Unfortunately, I hope absolute power does not corrupt the Oakland Raiders because they look pretty good on paper. Really good on paper.
Paper don't win
games.
Will they
be better than what they were last year? I don't know. Let's get to it. The running game, the Raiders are going old school with their offensive staff with Bill Musgrave and offensive line coach Mike Tice stepping in to tutor a young offense. Again, we have a first-year coach in Oakland, but Bill Real isn't his first time being a coach. And the first-time offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave, there in Oakland. Tice has overseen a variety of schemes over the years, but Oakland is probably going to go heavy with a gap-blocking scheme this year. Latavius Murray, he will be a steal to a lot of folks in fantasy land, in my opinion. will get a chance to run away with the feature back role, feature back job. He earned rave reviews running in practices in recent years before breaking out last season. Roy Helu is the change of pace back and will take passing downs. They'll see if he can get anything out of we'll see if they get anything out of Trent Richardson, who needs to be completely reprogrammed. In the passing game, Musgrave won't be making any drastic changes to pass the game last year. This is going to be rooted in a West Coast system. Amari Cooper will be used on a variety of routes, but especially the screen game and anything that puts him in catch-and-run situations. Michael Crabtree will run more underneath possession routes. Andre Holmes is a situational deep threat. Michael Rivera became power safety valve in the middle of the field last season, and it'll probably be next season before rookie Clive Walford overtakes him. Helu will be involved in the screen game more than Murray, and on third downs. In the red zone, however, Murray's going to have a big role in and giving the Raiders the kind of in-between-the-tackles threat the team has lacked. They threw often in the red zone last year, and Carr will likely target Cooper and Rivera. Crabtree could also work his way into a red zone specialty role, especially working mismatches out of the slot. Now, the starting quarterback, Derek Carr. Then you have Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Andre Holmes, Rod Streeter, Kendrell Tompkins, or Kimbrell Tompkins, Michael Rivera, and Sebastian Janikowski. Talk to me about the Oakland Raiders, JT.
Well, we had talked about this before, and I had mentioned this before, and we'll get in more detail talking about fantasy. But I like the core that they're building here. It's going to take a little bit to get it to work the way they want it to work. But they have Derek Carr. I think that's their franchise quarterback that they're going to use quite naturally. They have a Latavius Murray, which I think all he needs is more experience and a better line to run behind. And I think because who they have as the head coach, meaning Jack Del Rio, defensive-minded coach, is going to want to run the football a lot. Latavius Murray is the second portion of that trio. I named the quarterback, I named the running back, and now the third portion of that trio would be the wide receiver that they drafted for the number one position out of Alabama, meaning Amari Cooper. That core group of guys can grow together and hopefully give the Oakland Raider fans something to really cheer about. I don't think it's going to work this year. I think it's building blocks, one on top of the other. This is Del Rio's first go-round with the Raiders this first year, so he has to build the team up from what it was. Raiders have been down for a long time. I think this is the beginning of something that can really work for the Raiders, but this is the beginning, just like I said, and I don't think that it's going to reap much success this year. In the future, yes, not this year.
Well, let's go over this record because I think they're going to be better than what they were last year, even though this is a hard schedule. Let's go over it.
Yes.
They open up home with Cincinnati.
They lose.
Home for Baltimore.
They lose.
At Cleveland.
They win.
At Chicago.
They lose.
Denver.
They lose.
Bad place to have it, but then they get a bye week, in my opinion. Bad place to have it. But they come back from the bye, and they go to San Diego.
Heated rival. They lose.
Then they're home for the Jets.
They usually play the Jets very tough, very tough. Long story career, going back to the AFL days, they win that.
All right. Then they go to Pittsburgh.
They lose. Too much offense.
In a game that I think is going to be a smash-mouth game if both players are healthy, and will be a watershed game for the Oakland Raiders, They host the Minnesota Vikings.
They win that.
At Detroit.
They lose that.
At Tennessee.
Now, this game can go either way. It all depends on how Tennessee is at this time of the year. But I think they win this game, meaning Oakland wins it.
Okay. Home for Kansas City.
Keep going.
And Denver.
Keep going.
Home for Green Bay.
Keep going.
Home for a Thursday night game with San Diego.
Keep going.
And finally, at Kansas City. I know what you're going to do.
Five-game losing streak going to the end of the season. Kansas City, Denver, Green Bay, San Diego, either home or away, they lose those. Look at the where they play and who they play. They play four division rivals in 5 weeks. The only difference would be Green Bay, and they play Green Bay at home. And it really doesn't make a difference. Green Bay plays well on home. They lose, in my opinion, they lose all five of those games. They ended up in a bad way, and in a bad way as in 4-12. Now I know you may have it winning a few more, but in my opinion, they win four games and lose 12. I think that's about what they were last year.
I think you're wrong about a couple of those last games. That's why I'm giving them like a 7-9 record. But if they go 4-12, is Del Rio gone?
No, not the first year. No way. No way. He's got to have a chance. He'll get at least two more seasons unless it's really bad. But you got building blocks, man. I mean, this is his first year. What's that?
If he finishes the season on a 6-game losing streak, that's not good, bro. Because remember, they're not going to remember all the games they won in the beginning. They remember those last five or six.
I understand that. But you got to crawl before you walk. You have to crawl before you walk. When Troy Aikman was there with Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith, I think the first year they were together, was it 3-12 or something like that?
1-15.
1-15, okay. And the coach still stayed. You got to give the head coach a chance. You just can't fire him unless things absolutely go south. It's absolutely a debacle, not record-wise, but the way the team is playing and the attitude of the team. If they're still playing hard, but they're getting outplayed because the teams they're playing are that much better, then you can't fire the coach. You just have to get the players in place in order to be more competitive.
But listen, what I'm trying to get to is, even if, you know, you get to that position where it's you're trying to get to a better place so everybody can be better, Del Rio is a proven coach. Okay? He's got some players that they're trying to develop. Derek Carr being that main player. And if Carr is not there on his feet winning games at the end of the season where they have a chance to be 500 or better, who's going to take the brunt of that? It won't be Carr, because Carr is a good quarterback. But if they lose all those games like you say they're going to lose them, I don't know, bro. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen that way. But we shall see. We shall see. And you know what I want to tell everybody? You can always go to spotonradios.com to listen to this program and other programs just like it. And soon, very soon, I hope, when you click on the Master Plan, when you click on the Extra Point, and maybe even the FSP Crew Show, you're going to see top five projected players or top three projected players at every position from each show. What does that mean? You'll get to see and hear what we think about these players. It's coming, I hope, soon. I don't know, but I hope soon, because we got some great content. Some great content waiting for you guys, and we're going to put it all on paper so that you can see it through. All right, with that being said, JT, any parting shots just before we get off the air? You want to talk about the master plan? You want to talk about anything else?
We're going to talk about sports and master plan. NBA playoffs is one of the topics that we're going to talk about. Tune in and join the conversation and see what type of what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be information. It's going to be dispensed to you and only you if you listen. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, and we appreciate your listening, on even in the archives.
That's right. And while you're either here on the archives of Blog Talk Radio or you're over at spotonradios.com, click on a banner, preferably a DraftKings banner. And why do they want to do that, Jerry?
Because you can win a shipload of money.
There you go. That's all I want you guys to do as we get ready for this MMA fight that's about to come on Fox. Or FX prior to the Velasquez and Verdun heavyweight title fight, check them out. You can always go to DraftKings.com. Well, it's too late now because the preliminaries have begun. But you can always do a baseball. You can always do a golf, even NASCAR. I might even do some NASCAR up in here. I'm going to learn me some NASCAR. That's what I'm going to do. Hopefully I win something.
You want to go see
Billy
some Billy
Bob? Really? Really?
if you're not fast first, you're last.
There you go. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you guys for listening to this program and sticking with us as we give you great information and motivation and a variety of excellence every time we get on the air. Sorry again about the technical difficulties. Hopefully we'll have these things worked out. They better get worked out or somebody's head will roll. We'll see. It's me, Smeeze, with FSP, along with JTA10 Money, saying thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're out.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.